time I had a vision of heaven, I had the tears in my eyes. I mean, it was just so overwhelming. For about a half hour, just the tears just rolled off me. I mean, and it was, after I had that experience, there was just no other place you'd ever want to be. If you've had that experience once, you just no other choice. I mean, that's as much as perfect as we're going to know it. That's why it's so beautiful. So I'm going to share that with you. This was in March 29, 2001. I could see a vision of heaven with many souls of saints standing in long robes with a great white light all around them. Jesus said, "My people, it is good for you to witness to the glory of my saints in heaven. Every one of my souls on earth need to strive to gain heaven, for this is what your whole earthly life is all about. When you are in heaven, you'll be at total peace and rest in my love. You will be in a different dimension without the restrictions of space and time." Remember I talked about once you leave your body, you just got no, you don't have any attachment at all to things in the world. So, I mean, that's what you would be in. It's complete with nothing holding you back. You'll be in the eternal now, and I'll just express this as best I can. What he means by the eternal now is literally a dimension or a state of being outside of time. People don't age, I mean, your spirit, so there wouldn't be any aging or anything like that. It would be just, eternal now means no time. That's what he means by that term. You'll be in the eternal now, and you'll experience me in my beatific vision. Now that is very hard to explain. Beatific vision means that normally if you see God in our human state, you would probably die from that, just that shock and not seeing it. But when we're in heaven, the beatific vision means you're taking completely in, and the way I can just describe it for me, it was like you were wrapped around, like you were in the middle of God, and you had complete peace and love all around you, and you just didn't want to leave that situation. I didn't want to come back to that. It was too nice. But that's what he's trying to describe here for us. It's very hard to explain in earthly terms to appreciate that beatific vision. You will have full knowledge of everything, and your soul will be completely satisfied in your yearning to be with me and a part of me. And so our spirit will be one with God. I mean, that's how we will be in heaven. You'll be praising me. And there will be beautiful music as well. And the way that music, it's interesting. I don't think it's in this message, but in another message he gave me, he talked about the music of heaven. And it was very hard to describe because in our earthly way, sound, as you know, travels in waves, but it uses particles like the atmosphere. That's how sound transmits through the particles. But when you're up in heaven, I mean, there's no atmosphere. There's nothing to carry a sound. So what happens is, our Lord said that there's little packets of light, and they hold the song. And these little packets of light are sent out with the angels, you know, as they're singing. So as they sing, it's like a thought message going out, only it's in little packets of light. That's the best I can explain it. And so that's why everyone can hear the same song at the same time, at the same intensity. I mean, it was just an interesting message about music. So, while we're in heaven now, you'll be praising me and giving me thanks that you are judged worthy of the Lamb. The experience here in heaven will be as in a constant ecstasy of complete love and joy. All heaven will greet you and welcome you to your chosen level of heaven. And he showed me seven different levels. Do not pass off your desire for heaven as something unattainable or not worth the struggle. If you had even a small glimpse of heaven, there will be no other experience that you could desire more. That is why your ignorance of sin and your lack of motivation to gain heaven are very serious detriments for souls to come here. Mortal sin is death to the soul, and it is like a lifeless corpse in earthly terms. All of my faithful need to struggle with their own crosses, and they need to reach out to those souls caught up in the world and their sin. Life is a test and a struggle to gain heaven, but it is the only eternal destination that makes sense in any way that you want to describe life after death. And the only place I could feel that was beautiful and the only place you'd want to be. The other alternative to heaven is a horrific eternity in the suffering flames of hell where there is only hate and suffering. In other words, Jesus is all-loving and wants us to be with him in love, but Satan is just the opposite. He hates man, and you'll be tormented by him and his demons when you're in hell, if you should be there. To come to heaven, you have to give everything over to my will and follow my commandments. Seek my forgiveness after each time you need your sins cleansed from your soul. Only through contrition and my forgiveness can your soul be brought back to life in my grace. This whole Lent should be focused on me and how you can serve me and your neighbor better in love. Once you can live a life of total consecration, then you'll be moving closer to that perfection that is required of every soul seeking heaven. In other words, I mentioned before that we need to be saints. In other words, in order to get into heaven, we have to be saints, and only the Lord can bring us to that perfection that's required to be a saint. So we have to rely on that. Now, this is a vision about purgatory. It was given December 1st in 2000. I could see a very weary soul with very tired eyes that was suffering in purgatory. And Jesus said, "My people, I'm showing you this weary soul in purgatory so you can be aware of how souls suffer for their sins on earth. Most of you on earth that die before the tribulation and do not go to hell will have to suffer in this place of torment to purify your soul for heaven. These souls are crying out for your help every day, that you may pray for them and help atone for their sins. They cannot pray for themselves, but they can pray for you in return." In other words, they're up in heaven, they pray for you. "Every soul that you could release from purgatory will be eternally grateful to you." They won't forget you. "These souls suffer from the purifying flames and from the pain of not seeing me or feeling my loving presence." Now, what he showed me was in the upper parts of purgatory would be not so much about the flames of burning sensation in the spirit, in other words, but their biggest pain would be so close to being to God, but they couldn't see him. I mean, that was their biggest pain. The ones in the lower purgatory would be suffering not only the pains of not seeing God, but also the pains like a burning sensation as if you were in hell. "This joy in your heart when you are adoring my real presence," in other words, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament or receiving in Holy Communion, "is not available to these poor souls. My Blessed Mother and I are constantly asking your prayers a petition for these souls, whom many have forgotten in life. This vision is to give you a feeling for the pain that the souls in purgatory are going through. Many of these souls are weary and forsaken because their own relatives refuse to pray for them, or they forgot about them. So continue to pray for your own friends and relatives who may still be suffering in purgatory. Pray also for the forsaken souls whom no one is praying for. This is not asking much effort from you while you are doing your daily prayers. But remember these souls in your prayer intentions. When you pray, it is important that you remember to voice your prayer intentions so the merits of your prayers can be multiplied to these poor souls in purgatory." And he also talked about we can even multiply our prayer to help the souls that are in the world that haven't been judged yet, and for peace. We can do that too. "I thank you for remembering these souls, and these souls that you pray for will be ever in your debt." So we pray for the souls and not to forget them. And even if we pray for a soul that's already been brought to heaven, those prayers will always be used. They'll be just, a lot of times they'll go to other members of the family that may be in purgatory, or to other souls that you're praying for. So not to, it's sort of like pain and prayer are not wasted if they're put in the right context. I'm going to share now a vision about hell. And in the eternity of hell is really the more interesting understanding, because people don't have a real idea of how long eternity is. But once you go to hell, there's no turning back. You're there forever. I mean, that concept is just so hard for man to understand. So this was July 21st, 1997, the message. "I could see a large flaming abyss that seemed to have no bottom. Many souls were falling into hell." And if you read in Scripture, it talks about the deep abyss. That's what hell is, where it is. "Jesus said, 'My dear children, my mother and I are both sorrowing for how many souls are being lost in hell. My children, you must realize how serious it is to lose your soul to the evil one. Eternity in hell is an eternal banishment from my sight and a severe and painful suffering forever. All of this is because those souls refuse to accept me as Lord of their lives. Your selfishness and the desire of earthly things can bring you to this place of torment. My children, you must struggle to stop your abortions and your sins of the flesh. If you do not convert your lives, you will meet with this fate of eternal punishment in hell. Reach out to those lost souls and plead with them, if you could only bring them to me. Let them come to eternal love with me and not eternal hate from Satan. How many times must I seek you to bring you to your senses? Your sins bring you a false pleasure for a short time, but you are trading a brief satisfaction for an eternity of grief. In other words, this life here is very brief. That's what he's saying. Think of how long eternity is. You think in terms of a number of years, but how can you imagine a number one with an infinite number of zeros after it? If you had time to live all the lives of everyone that existed, it would not even scratch the surface of eternity. So come to me now, my children, and seek my forgiveness of your sins. See, eternal beauty and love with me far surpasses any thought of being with the hideous faces of the demons and their hate for you. Choose life, and you'll be forever with the light. Choose death, and you'll curse the darkness forever. So it's a very hard message, but it's really emphasizing how long it would be to be in hell. It's just, we don't have that concept, but it's a long, long time. You can't even measure it. I'm going to give you one message, kind of wraps up this part of the talk, and it speaks about perfection. I mentioned here earlier that we have to strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and in order to be a saint, and that's how we get into heaven. So this is a message on perfection. It was on July 5th, 1996. We were visiting in Achill Island in Ireland at the House of Prayer. I could see a large door to heaven, and it had a number one on it. And Jesus said, "My dear child, I am happy to see that you are coming to me to seek perfection. Many souls go through their prayers in life in a habitual way without seeking to better themselves. This is because in order to perfect yourselves, it will mean giving up your will to me. For some, this is too much to suffer in order to cleanse their lives." In other words, to give our will so that we no longer control ourselves, but we let God run everything that we do. There are several. First, consider your frequent sins as to how you may better your life. Whether it be to control your anger or your bodily desires, think of keeping my peace at every moment. Ask for my grace, and I'll offer you a way to curb your sin and your temptations. Make a conscious effort to avoid temptations by keeping away from occasions of sin for you. I must emphasize again that you use your time wisely in my behalf, always seeking to please me and do my will. In other words, not to waste so much time. Do not rush through your prayers to do your own things, but constantly ask yourself if what you are doing is more for you or for me. When you come before my Blessed Sacrament, and whenever you come to me in prayer, make a point to be quiet and listen to what I wish to communicate to your soul. So when he's speaking here of this quiet time, he's speaking like in about contemplative prayer, where we just are quiet in front of the Lord. You will see my informal conversation in prayer will become even more inspiring than your formal prayer. However you pray, I'm always anxious for every moment you take time to unite yourself with my loving heart. Prayer is the gift of the heart and soul which you alone can offer me. Keep close to me in all you do, my son, and let me run your life according to my will. I'm just going to give you a few little notes here of where my books are published. Our Lord talks about it as, my books and his messages or something like that. In Queenship Publishing is the one who publishes the books. And we just submitted volume 49. And except for the first three books that were a year, the subsequent ones are all 3 months of the messages. And so if you want to purchase them, you can call them at 1-800-647-9882 to order books. And those books all include the visions and the messages on the internet at my website, www.johnleary.com. They'll have the visions with them. So, and then book 48, we just...